Okay, so we are discussing the Mochdachuk issue, continuing from where we left off. And if you remember, it says in Shulchan Aruch that a Mochdachuk is ordinarily a Chumrah. It's a Chumrah that we said is based on the earliest sources of Mochdachuk is probably a Rashba in Teres Habayis and a Ramban in Hilchos Nida, who basically say that we do a Mochdachuk. And the reason we do the Mochdachuk, the Vilna Gaon comments on the din of Mochdachuk, no, everyone saw the Gra. The Gra says that when we say that you should do a Mochdachuk, Olam Yilamid Adam, Lahachim Chatzchilo, Lingshehei, I have a Mochdachuk, Zak the Gra, letter Hey, right? Ukimosha Kosov, Bigamara, Tanya, Amrulo Rabbi Yehuda, Omalei, Yadeha Beninaha Benash Mashals. In other words, the Gemara had a Tanya on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, you say that the bedikah has to be late in the day. We understand if it would be yadeha bein einaha bein hashmashos, if your hand is filling up most of the entire bein hashmashos, maybe then you solve the problem. But just doing a bedikah at the end of the day doesn't solve the problem. Right? That's what the Chachamim ask on Reb Yehuda. So says the Ramban and the Rashba, well, we have an Eitzah, that you can be yotzei alivid Reb Yehuda, and that's called Mechdachuk. Right, that's the Eitzah that the Ramban has, that Mochdachuk basically, so it's a double thing. In other words, A, we're Machmir like Rabbi Yehuda himself. Right? Rabbi Yehuda, Lechora, is not the Shita of Tanoim that's accepted. Right? Lechora, we assume that a Bedika that's done on day 2 in the morning should work, or Bedika maybe even that's done day 1 should work. Right, that's the suffix in the Gemara, not Rabbi Yehuda. So it's like a double-edged thing. A, we try to be machmi like Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gra. B, we try to say how Rabbi Yehuda could possibly answer the time of the Chachamim, right? Which is with a mochdachok, yadeha bein einaha kol bein hashmashos, that would solve the problem. And so that's basically our practice of doing a mochdachok. The Rashba in Torah's Habayis HaKotzer says the way it appears in Shulchan Aruch, "Olam yilamed adam betoch beiso lechatzchila," that you should always teach your wife, and you should tell her. By the way, this is a chumrah, right? Mochdachuk is usually a chumrah. Tell her it's a chumrah to do a mochdachuk. That's what the Rashba in Torah's Habayis says. The Rashba in Torah's Habayis HaKotzer, excuse me, that's the Rashba in Torah's Habayis HaKotzer. The Rashba in the regular Torah Habayis, however, says it a little differently. The Rashba in Torah Habayis, the regular one, sounds like Mochdachuk is not something that a husband is instructing his wife to do. It doesn't sound like it's something that has rabbinic approval. It's something that women decided to do on their own. Kvar nahagu hanoshim. No? Women started to do a Mochdachuk on their own. It doesn't sound like it's an absolute requirement, is just a minhag. And this is a point that Aruch HaShulchan makes. And so if you're Zayin, Aruch HaShulchan says, why do we need a mochdachuk really, at all? What's the rationale for our mochdachuk? L'cha'oira, a mochdachuk seems to be redundant, not necessary, right? Remember, we hold the Ikar Adin, and it says in Shulchan Aruch, that mochdachuk is only required if you have a one-day flow. A one-day flow is exceedingly rare. If it's not a one-day flow, if you flow like most women do for a few days, so then technically, right, you could do a bedika even shachris. Bidiyeved a bedika in the afternoon is good. But there's no reason whatsoever to do a mochdachuk. Why would we do mochdachuk at all? Why would I do mochdachuk? That's the taina that the Aruch HaShulchan has. Rabbi Forst points out in his sefer in one place that there's some Kitzer Hilchos Nida books written by classical poskim that omit the mochdachuk, no? There's certain svarim, that the Amir Lebeis Yaakov was written by the Wurzburger Rav. Right? The Wurzburger Rav was Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Bamberger. The historians know there was some controversy between him and the rabbi down the street, you know, Rabbi Shamshon Rafal Hirsch. Right? So, the Wurzburger Rav. So in the Amir Lebeis Yaakov, he tells women all of Hilchos Nida. It's a Kitzer Hilchos Nida book written for women in Germany. He never mentions Mochdachuk. Sephardi Poskim point out that they always do Mochdachuk. Every Sephardi Kitzer book does Mochdachuk. Ashkenazi kitzur books sometimes don't have moltafak at all. So what is the pshat in our dear friend, the moltafak, which is omitted from some kitzur svarim? So it could be azay. Remember, moltafak is only required if I have a flow that is one day and one day only. This is exceedingly rare, we pointed out, right? The Shach has a kasha, how is it possible? And we last time gave a few answers to that kasha of the Shach. But it's exceedingly rare. For Sephardim, however, it's not as rare. So Chacham Ovadia Yosef points out that Sephardim are not going to make these gezeiras of the additional days that you have to wait, that additional fifth day. Sephardim sometimes are going to not be gozer lo shimsha atu shimsha. So Sephardim don't have these extra concerns of plaita shefazera, so therefore for a Sephardi, a one-day flow is much more common. Or one-day nidish. For Ashkenazim, it's not going to be common because it's one day, you still have to wait a while. That's the Shach's taina. But for Sephardim, it is more common. So therefore, based on the sugya plaita shefazera that we haven't done, so that's why Chacham Ovadia says that all Sephardi books have moktachuk, but Ashkenazi books sometimes don't have it. But we do it. So why, Dachman Fregen, why is it that we do moktachuk? What are we trying to accomplish with our moktachuk if Lamaisa, it doesn't seem to be anything, right? And this is in addition to what we mentioned last time, the concern that the Badei HaShochan and others have, that what we do as a mochdachuk is neither mochan, it's not dachuk, it doesn't, right? Mochdachuk should be what the Chavistah says, that you fill the entire osa makom up, what we do just sticking in an extra cloth in, that doesn't seem to be a mochdachuk. It might have a basis in the Sefer HaChinuch, but that doesn't seem to accomplish what mochdachuk should accomplish, which is shezu habadika motzi amidei kol safek. So the Chavistas might be the way to solve this problem. Tosfos on Daf Samaches Amid Beis asks Akasha, no? Tosfos says, Reb Yossi over here says that Hefsek Tahara helps in the morning. Reb Yossi on Daf Nun Gimel says that you have to do it min amincho l'mayla. Right? That Tosfos is Stira in Reb Yossi's. And for Tosfos, V'yesh Lomar, Dahasa Mayri Kishahifrisha Biyom Sharaasa Boshachris Vahacha Mayri Bibadka Shachris Umatza Tahora. Right? Again, Tosis answers that the Gemara on Nun Gimel says that you have to do a Hefsik Tahara late in the day. Late in the day. It's interesting that the Lashon of the Gemara on Nun Gimel is Minha Mincha Ulamayla. And over here on that, Samachas on the base, it says that it will help in Shachris. That's the steer that Tosfos asks. So Tosfos answers on the Gimel on the base, we're talking about Yom Shara'asa. Right? This is talking about if she saw that day. Samachas is talking about when she didn't see that day. Zok l'chavistas. Okay, one second. What does Tosfos mean? If you see that day, then what? Then there is a requirement for a bedika late in the day, which somehow got translated to hefsek tahar to mochdachuk. That's still a mystery. Tosfos doesn't say mochdachuk, no. Tosfos just says bedika late in the day. But the Chavas Das understands from Tosfos that one second. If I saw blood that same day when I am checking myself, then I need a bedika late in the day. But if I saw blood yesterday, then I don't need a bedika late in the day, then a bedika in the morning suffices. So says the Chavistas, you know what? If I saw that day, against Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch says if it's a one-day flow, there's a requirement for Mochtachuk. Says the Chavistas, the requirement for Mochtachuk is if I saw blood that day. In other words, if I have a five-day flow, one, two, three, four, five, and I'm still bleeding in the morning, Then says the Chavis Das, I need a Mechdafuk Me'ikar Hadin. But if I don't have a 5-day flow, I have a 4-day flow, I stopped bleeding yesterday, and today on day 5 I didn't bleed at all, then I could do a Bedikas Chakras, then I don't need Mechdafuk Me'ikar Hadin. Okay? That's the assumption that the Chavis Das makes. Yeah?
You mentioned it, but how did you jump to Mechdafuk?
So how does the Chavis Das jump to Mechdafuk? We don't know. That was my Ha'ara. The Taisus doesn't say Mochtachak. Mochtachak is invented by Chachmei Sfarad, Rashba Ramban. Taisus never says Mochtachak, ever. Right? The Chavis Das is assuming that when Taisus speaks about a requirement, a Me'ikar Hadin requirement of a Bedika Min HaMincha Ulamayla, that is the same for us as a Mochtachak. Aber in Taisus, I never see the word Mochtachak, no? I never see the words Mechdafuk in Taisus at all. If you look in the Chavis Das, he mentions that this Taisus is a Raya, that if you saw that same day, you need a real Mechdafuk. I don't know. I don't see it exactly in Taisus. In Taisus, I only see that if I saw that day, I need a Bedika Min Mincha Mayla. Obviously, the Chavis Das is equating the two, right? Then, the Chavis Das has a bigger chiddush, no? Chavis Das wants to say, so, according to the Chavis Das, I understand, if I'm bleeding that day, I need a mochtachot, and our minhag of doing mochtachot l'cha'ira is trying to accomplish this Chavis Das. Right? We ask the question, how can we do a mochtachot? Right? Me'ikar hadin even bedika in the morning would help. Answer is no. If the Chavis Das is right, and you are bleeding that day, then you have to do a mochtachot. That's according to the Chavis Das. So we're trying to accommodate the Shita of the Chavis Das, even though the Chavis Das is against Shulchan Aruch. The Chavis Das then says a second point. Chavis Das says, well, 1 second, women are flowing for 3-4 days. Maybe days 1 and 2 and 3 were green blood, where it's not real dam tame, and day 4 is only the real dam, is the only day of real blood. So maybe if she's going to do a Hefsek Tahara, right? This is like a 1-day flow, and a 1-day flow. Me'ikar Hadin requires Mechdafuk even according to Shulchan Aruch. These are the two tainas of the Chavis Das. Okay, again, taina one is that he argues on Shulchan Aruch entirely. Shulchan Aruch says only a 1-day flow requires Mechdafuk Me'ikar Hadin. Chavis Das says if you bled that day, you require Hefsek Tahara Me'ikar Hadin based on the Tosfos and Samaches. Issue number 2 is that the Chavis Das says, who says it's not a 1-day flow? Just because you feel like you were bleeding for 4 days, maybe the first 3 days, the first 4 days, maybe you thought you were bleeding for 5 days, let's say, maybe the first 4 days was not blood and day 5 was blood. Rafi, you had a comment?
Yeah, isn't that how you jump? Because of that second idea?
Because of that second idea. So that tells me that I really need, in other words, all I would say, in Sifkatin Beis in the Chavis Das, you get the impression that he's coming straight off of Taisus. Right? There are two Sifkatins. In Sifkatin Aleph, he has two separate Tainas. In Sifkatin Beis, he says, based on the Taisus, so I see that Bedika won't help Somach Lebein Hashmashos. What? No? Taisus says, Beferisha Bedika would help Somach Lebein Hashmashos. I'm not sure how the Chavis Das read the Taisus. He said, right, the Chavis Das on Sifkat and Beis says, based on the Taisvis, Bedika Soch Ben Hashmashos won't help and you need a Mechdafuk. So Chavis Das says, even Bedi'evit you need a Mechdafuk against the Ramah. The Ramah says that at least Bedi'evit, a Bedika late in the day would help. Chavis Das would say, even Bedi'evit you need a Mechdafuk. Many of the Svarim, almost everyone rejects the Chavis Das. Right, first of all, what? The Hechateisi that you were bleeding for 5 days. The first 4 days wasn't done. The last day is. It's also, you have a Rashba always to rely on. That the Rashba holds that even if you're bleeding for 1 day and 1 day only, the Dika Chakras helps. So because we have all these questions, so most of the later Svarim, Chacham Avad Yosef goes to town, he assumes that there's no real reason to hold like the Chavis Das. Yeah.
If you see green blood for 3 days, does that not affect a Cheskas Me'alav Pesuach?
Cheskas. So, he's assuming that the green blood isn't really Mayon HaPasuach, because the Mayon, again, this relates to that Tosis on Daf Yud Zayin, whether the other colors of Dam are also coming from exactly the same place or not. I don't know.
But if you say they are, then you'd be no worse off on day four than if...
Right, and it's Enochanami. It could have been there was Mayon Pasuach from 4 days ago. Right.
That's
a good point. I mean, Tosis has 2 days on Daf Yud Zayin and Beis. One day it says that the Makar is a place that has many different colors of Dam. No? It would sound like all the other colors of Dam are also coming from the Makar, but presumably the first answer in Tosis and Yud Zayin and Beis was arguing on that. Okay, so this is the issue in the Chavos Das. According to the Chavos Das, we answered the Shach's Taina. No? The Shach asked, how do you ever have a one-day flow? Right? According to us, you have to wait 5 days anyway because of Poleta Shechvazera. That was the Shach's Taina. So we gave the Shach's answer, that there's a difference between a Re'iyah and a Kesem, and the one-day flow in middle of Shiva Nikiyim. Right? That's the Shach's answer. And we gave the answer to the Teres Hashlamim, that we're talking about a Kala. And we gave the answer to the Chazon Ish, that's a little bit earlier, that maybe you're doing the Hefzik Tahara a few days earlier. And even though there's a machlokas between the Avodas HaGershuni, right? The Avodas HaGershuni was the Chavrusa of the Shach's father, no? The Shach's father is actually quoted here. Right? The Avodas HaGershuni is Rav Gershon Ashkenazi. He was a Chavrusa of the Shach's father. And there's a machlokas in the Sidrei Tahara between the Avodas HaGershuni and... what's the other tshuva sefer? I forgot already. There's a machlokas about if I just check myself stamosai, does that create a situation of my yonasasum? But if I'm checking myself for halakhic purposes, like you mentioned, you want to go to shul, or you want to go to the cemetery, so that early check certainly will help to make it my yonasasum. That's what the Chazon Ish said. And the last answer for how I can have an early, how can I have a one-day flow is the Chavos Das. That maybe it's a one-day flow because days 1, 2, and 3 are not blood. Those are the 4 answers that basically we have. Issue that we began addressing last time was maybe there's a 5th mahalach, no? Maybe there's a 5th way of having a one-day flow, and that is Ayudeya Badika. During Shiva Nakiyam, a woman checks herself on the Badika cloth, and there is some dirt, some dam on the Badika cloth, it's Tameh. So maybe then you require a mochdachuk me'ikar hadin. So we pointed out in the Sefer Pre-Tahara, right here, Lakewood Posek, Rabbi Yaakov Forsheimer, quotes it's a machlokas between Reb Shlomo Kluger and his tshuvas, and the Maharash Engel and his tshuvas. They have a machlokas. Maharash Engel is Mako, Reb Shlomo Kluger is Machmir. His conclusion is that you should be Machmir. We pointed out that Rabbi Forst, in one place, thinks that you should be Machmir, certainly. No? There was no 45 Rabbi Forst that you should be Machmir, he said, because the only reason the Shach is Meko and the Kesem is because the Kesem is Drabonon. But a Bedika is Deiraisa, you have to be Machmir. That after a Bedika, right, you find a Bedika that's Tommy, there's a requirement for Mochdachuk Me Iker Hadin. That is what Rabbi Forst says. Later on, he says, well, maybe it depends which day of Shiva Nekiyim the Bedika is not. Is problematic on if it's towards the beginning of Shiva Nakiyam, maybe there's more of a svara to assume that's a continuation of the flow from beforehand. That's no 52. It gets very complicated, hard to understand exactly what's going on there. That's Rabbi Forst's Shita. Rabbi Willig is makel on this question. In the Rabbi Savolovsky book, page 314. So Rabbi Mordechai Willig writes, and I quote, if one finds blood on the Badika cloth during the Shiva Nakiyam and thus must restart the count, a moch is not required as there is no initial bleeding.
The
Shitasa,
maybe?
Right. So, according to Rabbi Oyla, Shitasa, it should be Pashat, right? Because, of course, a Badika is only Drabonon, right? So it's Logar from a Kesem. He doesn't really say why. It's a possibility that that's the reason. I don't know. It's possible. Chacham Ovadia Yosef is also Mekel. In the Taras Habayis, page 288-289, he says, after a Badika, you find the Badika Tamei, you do not need Mechdachuk Me'ikar Hadin. Why not, says Chacham Ovadia? Because of something that we learned already. You see, if I have an aid, a Badika, and it's Tamei, question,
We assume it's Doraisa, right? Is that Vadai? Or is it a Safek? When the Gemara said, Dilma Bedikas Eheva, remember, going back to the Truva of the Maharam of Lublin and the discussion in the Matzis HaShekel, etc., there's this big Hakira in the Gemara. When it says, Dilma Bedikas Eheva, does that mean that we know for sure that there was a Hargasha? You say there is no Hargasha, we say there was. Or is it that no? Right? That you have a Hargasha, but we say that the Hargasha might not be a real Hargasha, maybe it was a Hargasha's aid. Right? Is it a Safek Hargasha, a Safek Doraisa, or is it a Vadei Doraisa? Zot Rabbi Ovadia Yosef. Right?
Page 288, 289. That he thinks that if it's a Safek, which is the Pashtus in the Gemara, he says, so then what emerges is that it's not a necessary Doraisa, it's a Safek Doraisa. If it's a Safek Doraisa, so then maybe Yesh Lismoch on those Rishonim, right? If it's a Vadai Doraisa, so then we assume you need a Moch Dachuk. But if it's a Safek Doraisa, then Yesh Lismoch on those Rishonim who assume that a Bedikas Shachris suffices as Hepsik Tahara. That's Chacham Ovadia's conclusion. Reb Moshe Feinstein also addresses this question. I was surprised, like none of the Kitzer books quote a lot of these Makoros. Reb Moshe in Chelek Gimel of Yoyvedeya Simin Nun Hei has an arichus to discuss. If I find a bedika that's tame during Shiva Nekiyam, is the requirement of Moch Dachuk Me'ikar Hadin or not? Reb Moshe's conclusion, and he gets there after long readings of the sugya on Samaches and Bebeis Samachtes, but Rav Moshe's conclusion is it depends why the bedika is tamei. If the bedika is tamei because it's real blood, vadai dam, so then Rav Moshe says, then you require moch dachuk me'ikar hadin. But if it's only a suffix of dam, so then you don't require moch dachuk me'ikar hadin. In other words, Reb Moshe is basing himself on what we discussed a few times ago when we learned. In Simon Kuktsadi Beis, there is a Mechaber who says that by Tav'uha li Nasei, right, you ask a woman to get married, that's called Dam Chimur. Mechaber says you don't need Hefsek Tahara at all. Right? You don't need Hefsek Tahara at all in that case. Why not? So Reb Moshe builds this whole thing up that since it's only a suffix, maybe you don't need Hefsek Tahara at all. Even though we're machmir to do Hefsek Tahara, maybe not with Moch Dachuk. And similarly, in any case of suffix, that's basically, in the nutshell, what Reb Moshe does. It ends up being similar to what Chacham Ovadia says, but lazmi tamei. Okay, so halacha lamaisa, what emerges from this whole conversation? If a person finds a bedika that's tamei shiva nekiyam, the consensus of poskim is that you do not require moch dachuk me'ikar hadin. Right? We have the Maharash Engel who says that way, we have Chacham Ovadia Yosef, we have Reb Moshe who says that way, unless you know 1,000,000%, it's mamish red. The consensus of poskim again, I think, would be that you do not require moch dachuk me'ikar hadin. Another conclusion of this conversation now is as follows. Rabbi Schechter, and I think Rafi also pointed this out to me during Seder, Rabbi Schechter on page 307, I think in the Rabbi Sabalovsky book, seems to say, maybe you pointed this out, no, was this you or one of the guys?
Probably Rafi.
One of the guys pointed this out, but Rav Moshe is quoted by Rabbi Schechter that maybe the only time there is a minhag to do a moch dachuk even is if you were bleeding that same day. If a woman was not bleeding that same day, let's say she has a 4-day flow, and she's doing her hefsek on day 5, she was not bleeding that day, Rav Schechter assumes the minhag of moch dachuk does not apply at all. This is very logical. Because the way we began here today, we're saying that the only minhag of moch dachuk is based on trying to accommodate the sheet of the chavastas. That when you're bleeding that day, there's a requirement. If I wasn't bleeding that day, So then the minhag doesn't apply. That seems to be what Rabbi Schechter is saying. This would be the exact opposite of what Rabbi Moshe Sternbach quotes in his tshuvas. Rabbi Moshe Sternbach in the tshuva on Chelek Aleph, Simon 508, number 17, says as follows. There are B'nai Torah, he writes, who are uncomfortable that with doing a with Moch Dachuk the way we do it, because everybody knows a real Moch Dachuk should be what the Chavis Das is. You fill the entire area up. Just putting a cloth in, that's not a Moch, it's not Dachuk, it doesn't do anything. So therefore, Rav Moshe Sternbach quotes that certain B'nai Torah delay an extra day, right? That they make sure that they were not leading the day when they're going to do a Hefsek. So they wait an extra day, and then they do our type of Moch Dachuk instead of the super-duper Moch Dachuk. In other words, they are so convinced that the Chavis Das is right that if they were bleeding that day, they won't do any Hefsek, because no one's going to do a Chavis Das type of Hefsek of filling the entire area up with cotton. They're going to delay it one day and do our type of Hefsek. So this is very problematic. First of all, this is Bittul Peri Varifia in many cases. Right? Don't do that. It's a bad idea. Right? Moreover, it's like, we really don't hold the Chavis Das. Right? Shulchan Aruch is against the Chavis Das. Acharonim don't seem to accept the Chavis Das. Lemaisa, okay? Lemaisa, that's what we wanted to say about Moch Dachuk. Okay, any questions on Moch Dachuk before we move on to the next topic? Quickly, Noah? Anyone? Yeah. What? It's very uncomfortable. Also, every time you you insert anything, you run the risk of becoming tamei. No, you run the risk of scratching yourself and making yourself tamei possibly. So it might not be the best idea.
But how we do it is just basically an extra bedika.
How we do is just it's. Well, they don't even do a bedika. They just put it in. The bedika is that you go to all the areas. You rotate it. They don't even rotate it. They just put the cloth in and leave it there. But the fact is that when you have a cloth sitting in the body for, let's say, half an hour, it could end up becoming tummy. The Shevet Halevi writes, by the way, that since Moch Dachuk is in the body for a long time, so certain colors which are problematic on the regular bedika are not problematic on the Moch Dachuk. Since it's been in the body for so long, so it's inevitable there's going to be some yellows and greens, etc., because it's going to be there. And even though the Chochmas Adam is machmir on yellow or green on a Hefsek Tahara, but that applies to the bedika before the Moch. Right? Since our practice is what the Chavis Das is in Kuf Tzadi Aleph Ches, that first they put in one cloth, they inspect it after, then they put the second cloth in, so that first cloth is when the Chochmas Adam says it has to be perfectly clean. Subsequent cloths don't have to be perfectly clean, and the Metzius also is that it's more likely to be dirty. Yeah?
If a woman wasn't bleeding that day,
if one was bleeding that day, if
she was
not bleeding that day, Rabbi Schechter
would say don't do it.
Rabbi Schechter says that there's no minhag to do a moch dachuk, right? I think so. Again, you have to read the way he says on 307. I'm not being 100% accurate to the way he writes it. I'm saying it over the way I understand it. Is that fair? I think, yeah.
If you have a shayla that like, a woman doesn't
want
to do it.
You don't want it. Remember, in 99.9% of cases, it's a minhag, it's a chumrah. Okay. But it's a chumrah, it's something that Jews have been doing for a very long time, but okay. Right? Fine. Now, let's just talk a little bit more about just Hefsek Tahara very quickly and how it ends up. Yeah, Ariel? Can you just speak louder? Because my hearing is bad.
If a woman said that she doesn't feel comfortable doing a little talk of her, you know, whatever you want, but other cases where you would say that the thing that Schoenbach didn't like, or any other cases where we would say instead of just like going entirely to wait the extra day to say, let's get at it, or.
I don't understand. Again?
I'm saying, are there any cases where, you know, where you would recommend waiting the extra day rather than looking to
why? Why wait? Okay. Why wait? Our Moch Dachuk is perfectly fine.
No, I'm saying, I'm saying if, you know, if a woman says even the most awful fashion, that we usually feel comfortable with what we do, are there any cases where you think we get things instead of throwing out the
window? I personally would never recommend that. I don't really hear the svara why to do it. If anything, we want, right, hamakdim mitzvah is tremendous. Like, why do you want to delay? Right, that's what you pointed out from the Ramah at the end of the siman. I don't think it makes sense to delay. Okay, let's just talk very quickly about doing kapsik tahara when it comes up to Shabbos. There's a very famous machlokas in the Ramah, Siman Kuf Tzadi Vav Sif Aleph. Yesh omer mehespalo hakoho arvis ve'od hayom gadol, so you can't do a bedika anymore. Right? Lo bo shlevanim lahasim nos miyam ha-macha. So Trumas Hadeshim says that after davening Ma'ariv, it becomes Shabbos. So even though it still is, the sun is shining outside, but becomes Shabbos, you can't do a, you cannot do a Hefsik Tahara. V'yesh omrim, the Sefer Ha'agur, says it's mutter, even if they accepted Shabbos. L'chatchila, we try to be machmir, but d'yevet ein lachosh. That means if you're accepting early Shabbos, right, so you should do the Hefsik Tahara before you accept Shabbos. The Achronim say it's a good idea to try to do another one towards the end of the day also, before the sun goes down. That, however, should only be done if you know for sure you won't irritate yourself. If there's a chance that you'll be irritated, you should not do that second Hefsik Tahara. The first Hefsik Tahara is preferable to the second one. The first one is before, is Yotzi, even according to the Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen says, once you accept Shabbos, you can't do Hefsik Tahara. The Ugr says, once you accept Shabbos, you still can do Hefsik Tahara until it gets dark. Right? If you have a choice to do one or the other, you should do the earlier one to be Yotzei the Trumas Hadeshen. Which certainly would work b'diyeved, because it's within 2.5 hours of the end of the day, and from the time of Mincha Katana on. Now, this is a big topic in Halacha, about whether Tosefa Shabbos becomes Saturday, or whether Tosefa Shabbos just superimposes the Kedusha of Shabbos on top of a Friday. No? Trumas Hadeshen assumes that I can't do Hefsek Tahara once I accept Shabbos. And by the way, there's a discussion in the Shachir. He quotes his father. What about, are we talking about the Tzibur Daven Shachris, when she didn't daven, etc.? All the details you have to get into. But the Trumas Hadeshen is assuming that Tosefa Shabbos makes it Saturday. The Sefer Ugger says Tosefa Shabbos doesn't make it Saturday. If you want to just see the whole literature, all the raid on this, this seems to be a three-way machlokas Taz and Maharshal. Right? The Maharshal says famously that you should not accept Shmini Atzeres early, because if you accept Shmini Atzeres early, you still have to eat in the sukkah, and it's going to be an insult to Shmini Atzeres. So in the sukkah with a bracha, it's going to be insult to Shmini Atzeres to make the bracha leisha basukkah on Shmini Atzeres. The Taz seems to hold that no, if I accept Shmini Atzeres early, it becomes the next day. If it becomes the next day, so then it's no longer sukkahs. No longer sukkahs, they don't have to make a leisha basukkah. But that's a machlokas, Taz and Maharshal. There's machlokas in between the Taz and Maharshal in three different places. Rabbi Sachs says in the Sefer Chemdas Hayomim, a three-way lishitaso between the Taz and the Maharshal. That seems to be the discussion here between the Shumas Hadesh and the Sefer Ha'agur. There's one Ha'ara, though, that's worth making, no? Look in the Be'er Hagra, Sifkat and Vav, on this din. The Yesh Omrim. The second Yesh Omrim is the Ugr. The Ugr says that even if you make Shabbos, so therefore I could still do Hefsik Tahara, right? Zak the Gain, what's the source for this? So he quotes different Taisusin. Ayin Taisus Ksubis Mem Zayin, and Tosim Psachim Daf Tzadi Tes. No? Okay, what's a Tosim Ksubis Daf Mem Zayin? Tosim Ksubis and Daf Mem Zayin says that during the time of Tosefes Shabbos, there is no, or Tosefes Yontiv, let's say, right, there is no din of Simchas Yontiv. Right, so the Isser of being Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, etc., right, wouldn't apply, because there's no din of Simchas Yontiv during the Zman of Tosefes. That's Taisus and Ksubis Daf Mem Zayin. That implies that Tosefes doesn't become the next day. I accept Yontiv, so therefore what? I accept Yontiv, so now I have the Kedusha of Yontiv, but it's not a complete Kedusha of Yontiv. I don't have the Mitzvah Simchas Yontiv yet.
Why is it not complete? Because it still is the previous day, right? So therefore, I could still do Hafsik Tahara, right? That would make sense. That first Maramachum we understand. Second Maramachum, Mugra quotes. By the way, this Ha'ara that I'm making is Ha'ara that Rav Moshe Brown, he was my Rebbe, like, in high school, whatever. So Rebbe Brown has in the end of his Sefer Tevas Moshe. The second Ha'ara, though, second Maramachum that the Gra quotes is very difficult. The Gra quotes a Taisus and Psachim Daf Tzadi Tesam Abeis, no? What's Psachim Daf Tzadi Tesam Abeis? That's a discussion about can I be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, during the Zman of Tosefes, no? If I accept Yontif early, can I be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah at that time? So Tosfos writes there, fundamentally he thinks that you can be Mekayim Achilas Matzah during Tosefes. But there's a special Gzeiras HaKasav of Achilas HaBasar B'Layla HaZeh, and we equate Pesach to Matzah, etc., whatever we say in the Haggadah over there. So therefore, you're not Mekayim. So therefore, the Gzeiras HaKasav tells me that you have to eat Matzah when it's Vaday Laila. It sounds like if not for the Gzeiras HaKasav, during Tosefes, I really could be Mekayim the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. No? So Rabbi Brown asks, and it's a very strong kasha, if anything, the second raya that the Gra quotes is a raya listar. Right? The Gra's quoting two different taisis. The first taisis, I understand, proves that Tosefes doesn't become the next day. It's not Mamash Yontif. How do I know it's not Mamash Yontif? I'm not Mekayim Simchas Yontif. Okay, that's a good raya. But the second raya, Taisus Amsachim, sounds like fundamentally I should be Mekayim or the mitzvahs during the time of Tosefes. There's a special Gzeiras HaKasav, I can't be Mekayim Matzah then. Yeah, so if anything, the second raya, right, Ulay the Gzeiras HaKasav, I assume that Tosefes makes it the next day. Right? If anything, the Tosis in Psachim is a raya to the Trumas Hadesh and not to the Agur, right? The Gra is very difficult. Yesh L'Fal Peil, whatever, we could try to defend what the Gra means, but that's an important issue. Next issue. So we're talking about just doing a Hefsek Tahara before Shabbos. Hefsek Tahara that's done on Shabbos. Yeah, Jonathan.
Isn't the point of the Gra simply that
it's not Lila? Tosefes doesn't make it the Lila. Next Lila.
Doesn't make it Lila.
Saturday.
Right. But meaning not a halachic question, meaning it doesn't make it, right, meaning.
But the fact is, fundamentally, I should have been able to Mekayim, if it's not a mitzvah of matzah, let's say I assume it's a mitzvah of Sudas Yontiv, or a mitzvah of eating in the sukkah, or a mitzvah, well, I mean, sukkah might be equated to matzah, but any other mitzvah besides matzah, fundamentally, I could be Mekayim during Tosefes, because Tosefes makes it the next day.
Right, but even this, the point, the Gzeiras HaKasav makes no sense. If, unless you recognize that it doesn't, that even if at some level halachically it makes it the next day,
right.
There's certain things that are probably not in the halachic day, but in it actually being the next day. Right? And the fact
So really what we're getting at is when I have a Gzeiras HaKasav, right, is the Gzeiras HaKasav supposed to be taken with a Svara? Is Gzeiras HaKasav supposed to be something just like goes against logic?
I'm just saying, but like, in the Nida case, it's not, it doesn't seem to be fundamentally an issue of halachic the next day, right? It's Mitzvah's question, right?
I'm not sure if it's a Mitzvah's question. The din is that Hefsek Tahara has to be done the day before day number one. Hefsek Tahara has to be done on day zero. If it's already day one, I can't do Hefsek.
Right, but the whole notion of it being a difference between night and day. Right, night and day is not a, right, it's not a halachic question, it's a Mitzvah's question. Right? I mean, right, it's not...
I disagree with that point, but yeah.
I mean, the notion that even halachos is really to banish marches, but banish marches is clearly, right, meaning it's a specific time of the day.
Right.
Right, and I can accept, you know, Shabbos, you know, an hour early, that's not going to make banish marches. But in my making Shabbos, it's not going to make banish marches.
If I accept right, it doesn't. Bein Hashmashos
right.
Seems to be
and
a Mitzios issue, but there's a halachic reality called Yom and Laila. That Bein
Hashmashos doesn't seem to be purely a halachic question.
Okay.
But it's right, the fact that it also links.
So you're suggesting that the din of Hefsek Tahara is a din that's totally in Mitzios. That Hefsek Tahara has to be done in what's called the Mitzios of Yom.
Right.
not in the halachic entity of yom.
Which makes sense, because what are you doing is making that entire, right? You're showing that you
don't... I'll say it like this, okay? Again, I don't want to get into the gross third raya, like kriyashma. I say kriyashma shal arvis, right, when I accept the next day. Does that make it laila? Is that the issue? Again, this is the big question. This is the big question.
Maybe it
doesn't. What? It could be it does, it could be it doesn't. I think that might also depend on the Trumas Hadeshim versus the Agur. But there's a lot more to discuss. I hear where you're going with it. I just think, though, that certainly the first Ra of the Gra is much easier to understand than the second Ra of the Gra. I'll say it like that. Fine. When I do a Hefsek Tahara on Shabbos. So Hefsek Tahara always requires washing, no? You wash the body. That's in Se'if Gimel, no? V'yom she'posekes milir'os, right? Bodekes atzma ka'amor. You should wear tobash chaluk ha'bodok lo she'im bol ketem. The Mechaber says wear a clean shirt that doesn't have stains on it. Mechaber does not say to wear a white shirt. Do a white underwear. Mechaber says clean, not white. No? Nowhere in the Mechaber does it say white. Right? Ubalayla at night, you should put sadinim habedukim miksamim. You put sheets that are clean, that don't have stains on them. It doesn't say white. The next day, you begin to count. The Ramore writes, minakosha kshisha posekis vithara shetirchats viloveshes levonim. It's a good minak that she should wash herself and wear white. So the Rama adds you should wear white. The Mechaber never says to wear white. By the way, this issue of whether at nighttime we need white sheets, the consensus of post-game is that we do not need white sheets at nighttime, b'zman hazeh, because since women wear tight-fitting underwear, so therefore any dam would come out be on the underwear. There's no need for white sheets. White sheets was at a time that they didn't wear underwear. I actually had a shiloh. There's a woman who didn't like to wear underwear when she went to sleep at night for whatever her reason, so I told her that she actually needed white sheets during Shiva Nikiyam, right? But generally today we wear underwear, so the requirement of white sheets no longer applies. Right? Again, according to the Ramah. For the Mechaber, there's never a requirement of white. Fine. Then the Ramah adds, Omnam, im lo rachza rak paneha shomata dai bekach v'chein nohagin. If she only washes her panim shomata, she only washes her genital area, that's sufficient. What does that mean? So there are two ways of reading this Ramah. Some assume that the Ramah is saying that l'chatchila, she should shower, she should wash her entire body before doing a Hefsek Tahara. Bidi Eved, if she doesn't wash her entire body, if she only washes the genital area, that would suffice. Now, my impression is that this is not something that they teach Kalas. I don't think they teach Kalos that before you do a Hefsek Tahara, right? I don't think they teach Kalos that before they do a Hefsek Tahara, they have to shower, they have to wash their entire body. It could be that the Ramon never meant that you have to wash the entire body, but he meant that you should wash a chunk of the body, right? Chelak mehaguf, but b'diyeved, if it's only paneshal mata, that's enough. It's not abundantly clear what the Ramah means. How come, what's the pshat in what we do that most women do not necessarily shower right before they do a Hefsek Tahara? So it could be as follows. Maybe the requirement for Rechitza, what's the reason for the requirement for Rechitza? Why is it that she has to wash before the Hefsek Tahara? The answer is, the Torah's Hashlamim writes here, that it's to protect the woman, no? Remember, the Ramah is going to tell us later on that the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyam, we're not told like summon. If she wouldn't wash, what could emerge is that there's going to be some dirt on her body, which is really from beforehand. It really should not create a problem, but if she doesn't wash it off, it's going to end up appearing on her begadim during the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyam, and then we won't be tola. So to protect her, we tell her to wash it off. Right? That's what the Torah's Hashlamim says. It's there to protect the woman. That's the pashtus in the din. If that's the case, that's there to protect the woman. So first of all, if a woman didn't wash, let's say she did a hefsek tahara and she did not wash at all, would such a hefsek tahara be valid? L'chore, yes, no? There is some literature in the poskim. Some people want to be medayik from the Ramah, that the Ramah is only meko b'shas hadachak, if she's holechas b'derech and she doesn't wash. But it sounds like if it's not shas hadachak, the Ramah wouldn't be meko. There's some want to be medayik that way, but the Torah Shalom sounds like if you don't wash, it's going to be sufficient. L'chore, that's what the Torah Shalom assumes. The Sidrei Tahara, by the way, says that he doesn't understand the Ramah, no? Because the Ramah says if you're holich b'derech and you can't wash, so then, okay, it's shas hadchak, we'll do without the washing. That's what the Ramah says. So Yudha says, how could you not have any water to wash? How much water do you need to wash panesh amat? And even if you have no water, he says, okay, do not tell this to anybody, but even if you have no water, Sidrei Tahara says, wash yourself with mei raglayim. Right? That's his recommendation. I didn't make this up. Right? So Sidrei Tahara says that you wash yourself with mei raglayim, and that suffices as the rechitza. But they point out in this sefer, in the back of the pre-Tahara, he points out that, one second, it never says that this rechitza has to be immediately before the hefsek tahara. You have to have some rechitza before the hefsek tahara in order to make sure that you don't have stains on your body that will end up messing you up during Shiva Nikiyim. Most women, lemaisa, shower after they stop bleeding, before they do the hefsek tahara, or after they stop the intense bleeding, if there's a little bit of trickling. So the Achronim say a little bit of trickling, there's no need to really wash yourself, because the washing is because of the real dirt that may be accumulated. Women will shower before they do the hefsek tahara, and the rechitza that the Ramah is mentioning over here doesn't have to be immediately before the hefsek tahara. That's what women rely on. L'chora, most women, they'll do a hefsek tahara, they're at work or something, they're not going to shower beforehand, but that's fine because they showered last night, they showered yesterday. Right? That's probably what's going on. Does a woman have to douche before she does a hefsek tahara? A douche is an internal rinsing of the osel makom. Is that necessary? It is not mentioned anywhere in poskim that she has to douche. Okay, let's repeat that. You don't have to douche. If you want to, it's not a bad idea, so then douche, and that's when Rav Moshe says you have to wait the 15 minutes after you douche. But it's absolutely not required. So therefore, if it's late in the day and you need to do a hefsek tahara, do not douche. Because there's no reason to do it, right? If you'll do it, then you, according to Rav Moshe, at least you can't do the bedika right away. You have to wait 15 minutes. So therefore, it's a good idea to remember not to do the douching. Now, when you do a hefsek tahara on Shabbos, generally when we wash with hot water. If you do a hefsek tahara on Shabbos, you have to make sure that you're washing with hot water that was heated up from Erev Shabbos. You cannot heat hot water on Shabbos to wash yourself to do a hefsek tahara. Okay? That should be obvious. What about on Yom Tov? Am I allowed to heat hot water on Yom Tov to do a hefsek tahara? So it says in the Mishnah in Beitza that I'm allowed to heat water on Yom Tov for rechitzas panav yada v'raglav. Right? Well, it ain't panav, that's panav shalmata, it's not yadav, it's not raglav, right? Is that permitted? The shach and simin, kuf tzadi tes, sifkot in yud beis, chotza masas binyamin, that the masas binyamin says only panav yadav raglav is mutter to heat up on yantiv. You cannot heat up for rechitzas shar evare haguf. The bir halacha in simin tuf kuf yud aleph has a discussion in tuf kuf yav sif beis. The bir halacha wants to say that maybe people disagree, and they assume that heating water for other evarim is also going to be mutter. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, heating water for rechitzas kol haguf is aser on yantiv. Again, bizmaneinu, in our yeshiva, we assume that it is permitted to heat water for rechitzas kol haguf on yantiv. We do treat it like it's davar shav l'chol nefesh. That's a shir in Hilchos Yom Tov, not to mention right now. But the basic point is that the Bir Halacha seems to be inclined over there against this Masas Binyamin that's quoted in the Shach. Another issue that comes up when doing a Hefsek Tahara on Shabbos or on Yom Tov is a woman who has her Moch Dachuk inside her, is she allowed to go out in the Rishus HaRabim without an Eruv? Right? Is that considered carrying? So the Mishnah in Shabbos says a woman is allowed to go out with a Moch that is there to protect her begodim, no? a moich letzir to protect her begadim. If I my begadim would get dirty without it, right? A meinekes has like nursing pads, right? Or a woman during her heavy flow days is wearing a pad. She's allowed to go out in the Rishus HaRabim with it, because it's just like I'm allowed to wear my clothing, and my clothing would be all dirty without it. It's to protect, so I don't get dirty. So therefore, that would be permitted. However, most poskim assume that to go outside in the Rishus HaRabim with the moch dachuk, which is not there to protect you, right? Not there to protect your clothing even. The moch dachuk is there just to make sure that's not my yonah pasuach anymore. So most poskim assume that would be carrying on Shabbos. In fact, Rabbi Forst, in his Sefer, I think on, I forgot which page, page 195, Rabbi Forst has an Eitza, I do not recommend this. He quotes from, I think, the Chut HaShani, that what you should do is you should sew a moch dachuk to your underpants so that you can go out in the Rishus HaRabim, right? The thread, before Shabbos. Right? That would be an Issa D'oraisa on Shabbos, good. Huh? It's a lot of work, right? Maybe stay home for half an hour, right? It's a lot of work. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, Perek Yud Ches, note 86, that he thinks maybe there's no Isser of Hotza'ah with the Moch Dachuk, against all the poskim. He says, because when I go out into the Rishus HaRabim, right, and I'm carrying, this is not the normal way people carry stuff. First of all, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, given. Second of all, Rav Shlomo Zalman wants to say, this is in the Tikkunim U'Miluim to the Shmir Shabbos, he wants to say, you know what? Rav Moshe Feinstein famously in the Tshuva says that I'm allowed to wear a wristwatch on Shabbos and it's not carrying. Why is a wristwatch not carrying, like Rav Moshe? He says maybe Bnei Torah shouldn't, but why is it that Rav Moshe assumes fundamentally a wristwatch isn't carrying? A wristwatch isn't a beged. But he says, since it serves a tashmish for the guf, no, I know what time it is because I look at my watch. It helps me. I know, right? So therefore, that is enough to make it a beged. That's a chiddush or a moshe. Something that serves my utilitarian purposes is considered a beged. So a wristwatch is a beged. Zechem Shlomo Zalman, maybe you could extend it to a moch dachuk also. It serves her utilitarian purposes. Right? The moch dachuk maybe is considered a beged. Why is it a beged? It's a beged because it helps her know if she is Mayana Pasua for Mayana Sasum. That's the chiddush of Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Shmir Shas Kel Chasa. Okay, let's begin just very quickly, Si'if Dalet. No? Si'if Dalet says like this. Each day of the Shiva Nekiyim, so she should check herself. Tzricha lios bodekes lechatzila pamayim b'chol yom achas shachris va'achas samoch lebein hashmashes. You check yourself twice every day, one in the morning and one close to the end of the day. Right? During the Shiva Nekiyim, Shulchan Aruch says you check yourself twice a day. Okay, not a big deal. That's a din of Shiva Nekiyim. And if you don't check yourself twice a day, right? So once a day for sure is okay. But even if you check yourself once on Yom Rishon or Yom Shvi'i, according to the first opinion of Shulchan Aruch, that's okay. Second opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that you need Rishon u'Shvi'i ve'ein l'hakel, that you need a bare minimum, a bedik of day 1 and day 7. If you have someone who didn't check on day 1, so l'maisa you tell her, check tomorrow, and tomorrow will become the new day 1. But you shouldn't be mekel, right? The Mechaber says, Rishon Shvi'i ve'ein l'hakel. He writes in the Beis Yosef because it's a potential kares. That implies that he assumes that these bedikos are d'oraisa, no? We spoke earlier whether hefsek tahara is d'oraisa or d'rabbanon. Bedikos are d'oraisa, you get an impression from this Mechaber, because he says ein l'hakel because it's iser kares. If it be d'rabbanon, there's no kares. You need 1 and 7. I had a woman who called me pretty recently that she did have Sik Tahara and she forgot Bedika on day 1. So I'm about to tell her, okay, you know, so do the Bedika tomorrow. Then I remember that she and her husband are having Shalom Bayis issues. However, they're having issues. So the question is, okay, so now what? Now what? Right? And what some of the issues are also whatever the issues are, some of the issues are that she was nervous that maybe he'd become angry if she found out that she missed a day of bedikos. So can you be mako in that situation? So that was the question that I had. So it turned out that Dr. Blumenthal, he was here in the yeshiva, no, he's a psychologist, so he was just like in the coffee room right after I got the shiloh. So I said, okay, let me ask you the shiloh, what you think. So he told me that, he says, listen, the halacha, I'm not going to tell you, you're the rabbi, but in terms of psychological issues, I would only be mako if you get them to go to therapy for this. Cool. In other words, that was his recommendation, to hold the kula ransom. Like, okay, I'll be make on the day, but you got to go to therapy for it. That was that was his recommendation. It's not a crazy idea, by the way. Not a crazy idea. But that's the shiloh. Under which circumstances, when it says, Rishon Shvi'i Ve'en Lahakel, so under which circumstances can you be makel? You miss day one of Shiva Nikiyim. Generally speaking, not such a big deal. You'll go to the mikveh a day later. But only in this situation, because it's like shalom bayis issues, was I even thinking of being mekel? Or else, ain't lahakel, it says in shalom, can't be mekel. What about a woman who misses day 7? Well, usually you miss day 7 also, so you'll be one day later. But I once had a shaila like this. A woman comes to me Friday night in shalom, like a woman who never comes to shalom Friday night, so she says, I have a question for you. I'm like, okay. She's like, well, I'm supposed to go to the mikveh tonight. I'm like, yeah, that's a little too much information. Right? So she's like, no. Right? Basically, she was supposed to do only bedikas 1 and 7. Right? In cases when doctors, rabbonim, will tell you to minimize bedikas because you're prone to scratch yourself, she's only doing 1 and 7. Fine. And she did bedikah on day 1, but she forgot to do a bedikah on day 7. So, okay, this is a problem, no? Because right, what does that mean? If you forget to do day 7, so you tell it to start again, that means that day 8 is going to be day 1, and you're not going to the mikvah until day 14, no? That's very bad, right? So what do you do in this situation? So I kind of passed the buck over here. I said, listen, I think what you should do is go to the mikvah now, and tell the mikvah lady, and let Rav Mantle handle the shiloh. Because the mikvah here doesn't let me answer the shiloh. It's like, go to the mikvah, and tell the mikvah lady you didn't do a bedika, and let the mikvah lady go to Rav Mantle, and let Rav Mantle sort it out. It's not a simple shiloh. Rishon Shvi'i Ve'en Lahakel. Rav Schechter told me subsequently that he felt that, he quoted some sermon which I wasn't able to find, but he felt that if it's going to end up being that more than the majority of the month she is Tameya, so in that situation, everyone would be masking that you can be makel. Even though you need 1 and 7 to ein lahakel, but if it's going to be more than most of the month that she's tameya, which basically this situation would be, huh? No. Because usually it's 12 days, right? So more than like 15 days. That's right. Okay. Right? It won't end up being more than...
Rove?
Huh? More than rove. If it'll be more than rove of the month, right? So then you can be mekel, huh?
What's the rove
of the month? Where is that from? So Rav told me that there's some sort of the Darki Tshuva who say this. I don't know. I couldn't find it.
She's a 7-day period, and she's already
on the coil. Yeah, 5 plus 7.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to be
able to. Right. So it's not... In other words, but that's a huge kula. In other words, that kula that Rav Schechter is telling me would mean that you could rely on the first opinion of the Shulchan Aruch in many cases. I don't know, it's not a simple shaila. If you miss a bedikah on day 7, if you're only doing 1 and 7, you miss a bedikah on day 7, it's not a pashat shaila. Okay, so we're going to have to discuss these issues of bedikos during Shiva Nikiyim. We have to learn the Mishnah and the 3 different shitas Hatanoyim and the Gemara. And next time we learn, we'll discuss it. We'll discuss it in detail. We'll try to learn Sif Dalet next time on Monday, Mir Tashem. Okay, thank you very much.